Tonight we are going to look at the Gospel of John and our Bible overview. And we noticed that a Stephen Lockton broke this scroll into 21 chapters. And the key thought in the book of John is that Jesus is God. In the book, we see that John refers to a series of seven key signs reveal that Jesus is God. And Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And the key lesson we could see in the book of John is that Jesus is believable. The Gospel of John endeavors to explain the mystery of the person of Christ. And Christians believe that, should believe, as John has written Jesus in the book as the Messiah, the Son of God. The book of John is unique from the other synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He doesn't record a lot of things. What he does do is share with his readers, his audience, about who Jesus is. He uses such words as light, water, light, love, and breath. And we'll cover those qualities of Jesus later on in our lesson. So we see a quick outline of the book of John reveals that in chapter 1, the first 18 verses, we see the prologue. And then he goes into the book of signs. He calls the miracle signs, and he only refers to seven. In chapters 13 through 20, we see he refers to the book as the book of glory, glorifying Jesus as the Son of God. And then he finishes off the book with the resurrection appearance in Galilee in the 21st chapter. To dig into a little further of the book, we see that in John 1, Jesus prepares for his ministry. In chapters 2 through 4, we see Jesus starts his public ministry. And then again, we see in the 5th chapter to the 12th chapter, Jesus' opposition. It's really interesting because he's coming on and teaching repentance. He's performing miracles. He's encouraging people to turn from their sins. The authorities didn't like it, but Jesus had the authority. Chapter 5, we see his ministry at the Sea of Galilee in the 6th chapter, and he declares himself the light of the world and justifies his doctrine in chapter 8. And I skip, of course, the discourse of the Feast of Tabernacles in the 7th chapter. He heals a blind man in the 9th chapter. And he proves his works that he is Christ, the Son of God. He raised Lazarus from the dead, by the way. This particular miracle is not in the other three gospel. And the Jews reject Jesus. And Jesus withdraws to his disciples in the 12th chapter. And we see the final days of his ministry in the 13th chapter through the 21st. We see the private ministry with Jesus' disciples. Jesus prepares his disciples for his coming death and for their ministry after his resurrection and ascension. In the 18th and 19th chapter, we see Jesus' betrayal, death, and burial. And in chapters 20 and 21, we see the resurrection of Jesus. The first 12 chapters describe Jesus' public ministry, beginning with meeting John the Baptist and closing with the visit of the Greeks who came to worship at the Feast of Passover. Remaining chapters deal with the closing days of Jesus' earthly ministry, when he gave instruction to his disciples and explained the meaning of his life and approaching death in a number of lengthy discourses. The Gospel of John introduces Jesus not from his birth, but from the beginning, before creation. John calls Jesus the Word, who as God himself was involved in every aspect of the creation, and who later became flesh, John 1:14, in order that he might take away our sins as the spotless Lamb of God, John 1:29. We also see that the Gospel of John includes several spiritual conversations, such as Jesus' talk with the Samaritan woman that shows him as the Messiah. And Jesus met with Nicodemus that explained salvation through his vicarious death on the cross. In the Gospel of John, Jesus repeatedly angers the Jewish leaders by correcting them, healing on the Sabbath, and claiming traits belonging only to God. And why does he claim those traits? Because he is the Son of God. And the Gospel of John identifies the author as the disciple whom Jesus loved. John the Apostle, one of the sons of Zebedee, Luke chapter 5, verse 10. And this description pointed to John for three reasons. The author has to be one of the 12 disciples because he was an eyewitness to the events in the Gospel. We also see that he was one of the inner circle of three disciples, James, John, and Peter, because he was among the first Mary told of the resurrection, John chapter 20, verses 1 through 10. And this disciple is distinguished from Peter in this book. We also know that John was a leader in the early church. John did not include the nativity story in his gospel. John introduced his book by going back even further into history, using the in the beginning language of Genesis 1:1. John made a direct link between the nature of God, the nature of the Word, Jesus Christ. The emphasis of the deity of Christ is a striking quality of John's gospel. It also comes through clearly elsewhere in the book, particularly Lee, in John chapter 8 and verse 58, when Jesus claims the divine name, I am. For himself, which led an angry mob of Jews to try to kill him for blasphemy. We also see that John's gospel shows that Jesus of Nazareth was Christ, the Son of God, and that believers in him might have eternal life. In the Gospel of John, the Word, which was with God, and that was God, and this Word became flesh and dwelt among men in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. He, referring to John, wrote so that his readers might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, so that they may have life in his name. To accomplish that goal, John presented a distinctive picture of Jesus Christ, one in complete unity with the portraits in the other three Gospels, but one that also adds significantly to the Bible's revelation of Jesus Christ as the God-man. Can I get a volunteer to read John chapter 20, verses 31 and 32, please?
Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in the book, but these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in him.
Thank you very much, Vicki. So we see that Jesus performed many miracles, many signs that is not recorded in the gospel event. But the ones that John did share with us should prove the deity of Jesus as the Son of God. And those who believe in his name, you may have life, and that's eternal life. John wrote to the Gentiles, and Jesus was not just a great prophet, miracle man, or teacher. He is the only begotten Son of God. He is divine. John places emphasis on this in his writing. There aren't any parable stories in the Gospel of John. He didn't include them. John provides information concerning Jesus' teaching. He shares with us what Jesus taught the disciples. And we could use John's gospel as a commentary to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, because he explains things the other gospel writers didn't explain. And the Gospel of John includes only 7 miracles. And John calls them signs, to demonstrate the deity of Christ and illustrate his ministry. Some of these miracle stories, such as the raising of Lazarus, are only found in John. And he often gives the reason behind events mentioned in the other Gospels. And the Gospel of John shares much about the approaching ministry of the Holy Spirit after Jesus' ascension. And there are certain words or phrases that create a recurring theme in the Gospel of John. Believe, witness, comforter, life, death, light, darkness, I am, and love. So when you read this gospel, you should appreciate the message that John is sharing with you and I. And the seven signs that of Jesus recorded in the book of John are: Jesus turns water into wine. And we went through that miracle when we studied Matthew, and that was Jesus' first public miracle. And Jesus heals the nobleman in the fourth chapter. And then Jesus heals a man who had been lame for 38 years in the pool of Bethesda in the fifth chapter. Jesus feeds the 5,000 with five loaves and two fishes in the sixth chapter. And Jesus walks on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus heals the blind man by spitting in dirt and making clay, and then applying mud to the blind man's eye, and he was healed. And Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. He doesn't record the many miracles of Jesus, but he does share with us today these seven signs to prove that Jesus is God. And the Gospel of John portrays Jesus as God of the Old Testament is seen in the I Am statements of Jesus. Two, the I Am statements refer to Jesus as both the Good Shepherd and the Dormant Sheep. Here are clear references to Jesus as the God of the Old Testament, the Sheep of Israel, the Shepherd of Israel, and as the only door into the sheepfold, the only way to salvation. He is the bread of life in John chapter 6, verse 35. Provided by God to feed the souls of his people. Just as he provided manna from heaven to feed the Israelites in the wilderness. So there's a comparison there. We also see that Jesus is the light of the world. John 8 and 12. The same light that God promised to his people in the Old Testament, and which we find it accumulation in the New Jerusalem when Christ the Lamb will be the light. Revelations 21 and 20, verse chapter 21 and 23. The I Am statements of Jesus. I am the bread of life. Can I get a volunteer to read John chapter 6 and verse 35, please?
Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not come to me.
Thank you. I stopped. I didn't go through the whole. I didn't add the other verses, but I only wanted to point out that Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. And if you come to him, you're not hungry. How does he share this with us today? Through the word, through the scriptures. So he communicates this to us through the whole word of God. We should take the Bible and use it so that we may know how we should live, how we should praise and honor God, and how we should interact with our neighbors. I am the light of the world. Can I get someone to read John 8 and 12, please?
And Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not.
Thank you very much, Ruth. So Jesus again said he is the light of the world. And he who follows me will not walk in the darkness. Again, going back to scripture, as our guide for us to walk in a right relationship with God. I am the door of the sheep, a way entering salvation. Can I get a volunteer to read John 10, verses 7 through 9, please?
So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture."
Thank you very much, Ty. So Jesus said, "I am the door of the sheep. And this door, if anybody enters, he will be saved." You have to be in Jesus. And the only way we can be in Jesus is through baptism. We go on to say another I am statement. I am the good shepherd. Can I get a volunteer to read verse 11 in chapter 10, please?
"I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep."
Thank you, Anne. So we see that Jesus is the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. What did Jesus do for you and I? He took our sin and nailed them to the cross with his death on the cross. And this allowed each and every one of us eternal life, provided we're in Christ. Again, we see that I am the resurrection. Can someone read John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, please?
"Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live in every way he lives.
Thank you, Faith. So Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me will live even if he dies. How can we live if we die? In a physical sense, we will no longer be here on earth. But in the spiritual sense, we will live eternally. And that's what Jesus is saying. You have to be in Christ. I am the resurrection and the life. He will give us life. And Jesus is the great I am. In this particular verse in chapter 8, verse 58, Jesus said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am." Before Abraham existed, Jesus was there. And John refers to that in the beginning of his gospel. Jesus is the Word, and the Word was with God. And he created with God the heavens and the earth. We look at another I am statement. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Can I get a volunteer to read John 14 and 6, please?
Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me."
Thank you very much, Sharon. So we see that Jesus is the only way. He is the truth that we have to follow, and the light that we should emulate in our lives. And if you don't put this in your life, you cannot approach God the Father. A lot of times people claim to be Christians. They put on Christ, but yet they're not healed. They're not acting as Christians in the world. We have to be like Christ. And the only way we could do that is by our understanding how we're supposed to live and put that in action into our lives. I am the Son of God. In John chapter 10, verse 34 through 36. Can I get a volunteer to read that, please?
Okay, thank you.
Jesus answered them, "Has it not been written in your law, 'I said, you are gods'? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came and the scriptures cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the word, 'You are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God'?"
Thank you, Carol. So we see that in his discourse with the Pharisees, he claims to be the Son of God. They didn't know what to say or do. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to put him to death because they claimed that he was blasphemed. And finally, we see, "I am the vine." In John 15, in verse 5, we read, "I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." We as Christians should be part of this. We are the branches of this vine, and the vine is Jesus. We extrapolate from him how we're supposed to live, how we're supposed to praise God, how we're supposed to worship God, and how we are supposed to share that message with others. The deity of Jesus, recorded by John. First of all, Jesus is the Word that was God. John 1:1. We also see that Jesus had a part in creating the world. John chapter 1, verse 2. Jesus, as the Word, became flesh. John 1:14, 29 and 30. And Nathanael confesses the deity of Christ. John 1:49. By the way, these slides will be on the church website for you to go look at later on after the lesson. We also see that Jesus performed faith-producing signs, and many believed that he was deity. How are we today who cannot observe the signs and wonders of Jesus? How do we believe? How strong is our faith? That's a question we should be asking ourselves. How strong is our faith to believe in the writings that we read from the scripture? Jesus reveals his deity to the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well in the 4th chapter, and the Samaritans confess the deity of Jesus later on in that chapter. Jesus was equal with God. When the Jews heard this, they were appalled that someone could say that they are God. But yet Jesus can claim that. And Jesus is the divine king that was foretold of coming in the Old Testament. A lot of the Israelites who read and and scouring over the Old Testament scrolls, totally missed the coming of Jesus. They weren't looking for a Messiah who was a spiritual savior. They were looking for an earthly king to lead them and conquer other nations like the Romans. But yet, Jesus is concerned for our souls. And Jesus never sinned. He's the perfect sacrifice that you and I have. Again, Jesus is the great I am in John 8 and 58. And Martha confesses the deity of Jesus in the 11th chapter. I know we're covering a lot of scripture in John. We studied the book of John just recently, and that should be on our minds, and this should recall some of those things that we have learned from those lessons. As we continue, John quotes from Isaiah 6 and verse 10 and Isaiah 53 and verse 1 and makes the application of God to Jesus, thus proving his deity. And Jesus proclaims the oneness between he and the Father to Philip. And the disciples confess the deity of Jesus in the upper room after the Passover meal. Now just think about that. What happened when Jesus was arrested? Where were the apostles? They scattered. They wandered around. They didn't want any part of that. Even Peter, who was close to Jesus, and Jesus told him, "You're going to deny me 3 times. I'm not going to do that." Well, he did deny him 3 times. And you could just imagine what he felt. The Lord told him, "You're going to deny me." And he claimed he wasn't. But yet he did. And he left. He left and he was upset. He knew he messed up. Finally, we see Thomas proclaims the deity of Jesus. And remember his story. When Jesus appeared to the 10 apostles, Thomas wasn't around there. "I don't believe you that Jesus came back until I can put my finger in the holes of his hand and in the side, I will believe." When Jesus reappeared, when Thomas was there, he said, "Hey, buddy, come here. Put your finger here. Put your hand in my side." He believed. We don't have that today. We should rely on our faith to be so strong when we read the scriptures. It enables us to be children of God. Jesus professes his deity in the book of John to the Samaritan woman, to the unbelieving Jews in the 8th chapter, to the blind man that was healed, to Philip, to Caiaphas, the high priest, and finally to Pilate. He told them, "Hey, I am he." But yet they didn't believe him. Jesus' identity as divine Son of God sets him apart from any other man who ever lived. He carries with him the transcendence that comes only with God. His work on our behalf makes our salvation sure. Jesus is God. His salvation, his sacrifice on the cross has eternal implications, unlike the limited effect of animal sacrifices of the Old Testament. Jesus, the God-man, has atoned for our sins. We can place our confidence in him because of his divine nature. We all know this verse, John, in chapter 3 of John in verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus didn't have to die on the cross for our sins, but he obeyed his Father because that was God's plan. From before the beginning of the world, so that mankind, you and I, could have salvation. In John's Gospel, we read of encounters between Jesus and Nicodemus and the woman at the well, chapters 3 and 4. We learn much from Jesus' model of personal evangelism. He shared with these individuals salvation. We should emulate that in our lives to go preach the message to others. His comforting words to his disciples before his death are still a great comfort in sorrowful times to us today. Read John 14, 1 through 6, and see how he shared with his apostles. He told them he's going to die. He's going to die a death on the cross for all mankind. And this should be comforting for you and I when we have some sorrowful times in our lives. Jesus, his high priestly prayer for believers in chapter 17 is a source of encouragement for believers. And John's teaching concerning the deity of Christ are helpful in providing a clear revelation of who Jesus is, fully God and fully man. He took on the form of man. He experienced what you and I experience in temptation, but he didn't succumb to those temptations. He took all our sins and put it upon him and paid the price, that sacrifice on the cross for you and I. In the Gospel of John, Jesus willingly dies on the cross in our place. John chapter 10 verses 15 through 18. And Jesus paying for our sin of death in full. That's amazing for you and I today. Our sins are wiped out. That debt of sin that we have was done away with by his death. Whoever trusts in him will be saved. And we just read, God loves each and every one of us, and he gave his only Son for a sacrifice for you and I. And Jesus then rises from the dead, convincing even the most doubting of his disciples that he is God and the Master. It's amazing when we look at the events in the Gospel of John, and you can just imagine what his disciples were going through when they experienced Jesus in the garden, being betrayed, being put on a mock trial by the high priest, and then turned over to the Romans. And Pilate said, I don't find anything wrong with this guy. But they insisted on doing away with Jesus. How sad that is when they totally missed God among them. John teaches us to abide in Jesus. Read the Word of God. Continually feeding on the Word of God helps us understand what we ought to do. And there's power in this Word, in the Word. Can I get a volunteer to read John 17, 17, please?
Sanctify them in the truth. The word is truth.
Thank you, Daiso. The word, which is Jesus, is the truth. And when we read the scripture, we should apply those things to our lives. A lot of times we fail in an arena, but yet we should strive to do to the best of our ability to walk faithfully, to walk honorably, to walk courageously for Jesus. Obey the word. When we became Christians, we were very excited. We had a zeal to honor God for the gift that he had given us. And we should carry that zeal, that passion throughout our lives so that we could share with others. The Bible not only instructs us, but tells us how to live. By obedience, we demonstrate our love for God and the experience and experience his presence in its fullness. Just look at Jesus when he was here. He obeyed God by going to the cross. He wanted that to pass, but yet he said, your will be done. That's the same attitude Christians today should have in their lives. To put God first and be obedient to his word. And a lot of times we all fall short of that. We all allow Satan to enter into our lives and pull and draw us away. But we should be obedient to the best of our ability in the way we walk as Christians, the way we display our Christian life to others, not only to people in this building, but to people in the world, people who aren't Christians, so that they may see us, they may see Jesus in us, and they may have salvation. And then again, we have the responsibility to share the word with them. And John teaches us we should be praying. Prayer is very powerful. It is essential in abiding in Jesus. We share our hearts and hurts, our feelings, our joys, and our gratitude. We should be very thankful to God that we could approach our Heavenly Father through Jesus. We must worship in our prayer and express our adoration as well. We have God thank for even the very air we breathe. He provides everything for us. He provides us our homes, our health, our jobs. We may think, well, we did that, but bottom line is God provided it. And asking God to help us abide is a request that God will always grant. God is there for you and I. And it's up to you and I to approach him communicate to our Heavenly Father through Jesus. Are there any questions tonight with the thoughts that I shared with you on the Book of John? It's the final gospel that we will look at. Next week we will look at the Book of Acts. I don't know if I'm going to be able to condense that because we went through that study, 2 months ago when we started Acts. But I'll try to condense that so that we won't repeat a lot of the things that we studied 2 months ago, because I know you don't want to just listen to me. But the bottom line is it's important that we keep the Bible overview in sequence as we study. Are there any other questions tonight? I'll dismiss you a little early. Yes, Bill.
Comment. John seemed different than any other writer. But he spoke in third person. He went out of his way to never say I or me or even use his own name. He tried to cast every bit of the light on Jesus that him does.
That's a good observation. I'm not too well-versed in English, so I don't know. All I know is what I read. But I can understand what you're saying. But the bottom line is, Jesus is the Son of God. That's the point that John was trying to get at. So that you and I will know, without a doubt, that he is deity. Good point. Are there any other questions or comments?
Maybe just a thought. The two most famous statements in the Book of John, like you said, almost everybody in the world can quote John 3:16. The other statement that is outstanding is the fourth chapter, verse 24.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking to the woman at the well. He said, God is a spirit. Those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And I'm really impressed that in both cases, when Jesus makes a statement as all-encompassing as this, he's only talking to one person.
Mm-hmm. And when we read that, we see what he said. And that's a very good point. We should be worshiping him. We should be worshiping God in spirit and truth. And that's what he expects out of each and every one of us. Very good point. Are there any other comments?